T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
WTIC. Yeah, thanks for being here. It's good to have you around. We're going to talk to Red Janke this hour in a few minutes. We're going to talk about the police accountability bill. You're going to like that. Let's talk to Mike in West Hartford. Hey there, Mike.
Hey, Todd. Love the show, man. Real quick.
Thank you, sir.
I was watching the press conference that Ned Lamont put on the other day. And
yes.
I don't know if you caught the part where he was talking about discussing COVID percentages and how many people are infected and his business dealings overseas in Europe. Randomly,
yes.
Out of nowhere, he mentioned that. And then I thought to myself, that's kind of strange for him to say that out of the blue. And one of the reporters called in and asked him about it. And his response was like, I don't know, stuff. Like he asked him what he was talking about with his European business friend, and Ned Lamont chuckled and he goes, stuff, and like shrugs his shoulders. I mean, like, is this man, is he even a grown up?
That's a really good question. I think emotionally he's lacking in maturity. I think that's a really good point. And that was a particularly strange, that was last week, wasn't it? That was strange interaction when they did follow-up questions, and he gave them one-word answers.
And it's like you're calling on a child in school who doesn't either want to be in class or he is just not even paying attention. And that's what it reminded me of, was just kind of like this half-done class presentation is basically what they're putting on with these press conferences. You could see the seriousness. It's just
no, it's half-baked. They're pulling stuff out of their butts all the time. Thank you, Mike, for the call. 860-522-9842. WTIC. It is election season. Can you believe it? Just next week, the election takes place, and there's all kinds of hot issues. This is not a time to be depressed about. It's a time to be engaged and paying attention and putting pressure on those in the political class to do the right thing, just as a little variation once in a while. Joining us now to talk about that in the general sense, but more specifically about the police accountability bill, Red Janke from the Red Line blog. Hello, Red.
Hey, Todd, how are you?
Nice to have you here. Thank you for taking time out for us. And tell us about the column you wrote last week and what it is you're fired up about.
Well, this is the column which ran in the Wall Street Journal is merely about police endorsements of political candidates. And historically, the police have generally been nonpartisan. They haven't been stayed out of all politics, but they haven't been all in either. This year, they are all in. If you recall, in the first debate between President Trump and Joe Biden, the president challenged former vice president to name one police endorsement he'd received. And Biden couldn't name one. And the reason...
Yeah, that was kind of an amazing moment in that first debate.
Yeah. And it wasn't Joe's advanced age. It was the fact that he has received none, not a single police endorsement.
And I think that's not just a presidential level thing. I mean, I noticed about a month ago that all of the Republicans running for state office here in the state seem to be the ones who are the beneficiaries of those endorsements as well.
As I quote in my column, John Krupinski, who is the president of the Fraternal Order of Police statewide in Connecticut, told me that he's endorsing four Democrats and four Democrats only. And those are incumbents who voted against the police, quote, accountability bill. He said, otherwise, I'm endorsing only Republicans. There are 187 seats in the General Assembly. 187 less four means he's endorsing 183 Republicans. And he's hard at work doing it. I've spoken with him at least six times over the last 2 weeks. And every day I speak with him, and every time I speak with him, he's issued another large batch of endorsements.
So this is it's certainly a big change to have any unions en masse, especially a municipal union as big and powerful as what police represent in terms of numbers and influence. It's unusual to have them flip and become supporters of Republican candidates. But what is the significance of it in terms of potential impact on real life here in Connecticut?
Well, let's do some numbers here. There are 800,000, and let's go beyond Connecticut. Let's look at the nation. There are 800,000 active duty cops in this country. Okay. I asked John, he said in the normal year, how many do you think vote? What is the voter participation rate that you would estimate living in that community? He said maybe 75%. I think I vote more than my average neighbor. I think most policemen tend to vote at a slightly higher participation rate than the average American. So he pegged it at about 75%. And I said, how about this year? He said, well, I think it's going to be 90% or more. That's 15%. 15% of 800,000 is 120,000 new votes that didn't vote last time or in prior years who are going to vote this year. Mm-hmm. That's the cops themselves. Let's take their immediate family. Let's balance out the singletons, the young cops who aren't married yet, with the older cops who have families, and assume that it's just a nuclear family of two. That's a quarter of a million new votes. Now let's go to an extended family, and let's assume every policeman in this country has at least four members of his extended family who are going to vote. That's a million votes. Then friends. Let's assume they have each policeman has at least four good friends. That's 4 million votes nationally. The question is how they fall and what happens in the battlegrounds. And the overall question is, are policemen part of the quote, forgotten or poll-shy cadre of hidden Trump voters? If they are...
Or are they... Or as you're pointing out, if they are just... elevated. You know, the thing that makes minority voters so vital to the left is their overperformance in terms of devotion to one side, but also turnout. Like they are loyal and they are engaged. And if cops suddenly become much more likely to vote and much more adamantly Republican, and now they've got really a reason to vote, they've got an axe to grind, suddenly it's a whole different dynamic for that block you're talking about.
Absolutely. There's the old adage in politics is that your friends may vote for you on a sunny day, but your enemies will vote against you through rain, sleet, snow, and ice. And I submit to you that the police community nationwide is going to turn out en masse, almost to the man, to vote against Joe Biden.
Yeah, that's pretty interesting. Red, hold on one sec. Red Janke is our guest. Check out his blog, The Red Line, by going to, you ready? TheRedLine.com. But there's dashes between the words. TheRedLine.com. And we're talking about the impact that the police accountability bill, along with other issues that are connected to that, but the impact it's having on this election, perhaps, and the attitudes of police who are endorsing Republicans almost universally. 860-522-9842. All right, continuing with Red. What else do you want to tell us about this, Red? I love how fired up you are and passionate about this. It really is a big thing that's going on, and it doesn't seem to be getting a lot of attention in terms of reporters doing what you're doing, which is looking at it as a phenomenon and measuring it for us.
Well, the thing that I did is after the debate, I said to myself, well, how much further does this go? We know it was very simple to very quickly confirm that Joe Biden has not received any endorsements. But how far did that extend down from the presidential level? And as you say, observing Connecticut, up from Connecticut's experience, at any rate, where the police are endorsing Republican candidates en masse, intensively, passionately. Where does that all sit in the middle? So what I did is I looked at the 35 U.S. Senate races and the 11 races for governor this cycle. That's 46 races. There are only three Democrats out of the 46 contests who have received police endorsements. And of those three, two have opponents who have received counterbalancing endorsements from other police organizations. So net-net, there's one Democrat in the whole country who's got a standalone police endorsement from a major organization.
But I get the feeling, Red, that you think, in terms of the presidential race, that this could be the kind of sleeper force that could be causing a different outcome in the election next week, but isn't necessarily being picked up by polls.
Well, the first thing I'd say is I am not a pollster. I have no idea. We do know, anybody who's a general reader of political news, that the pollsters, almost en masse, are embarrassed by how badly they got it wrong in 2016. So they're certainly trying to correct in 2020 to make sure they don't get it so badly wrong this cycle. So they're looking for the, quote, forgotten or poll-shy Trump voter, or at least, you know, factoring that into their statistics. Whether they found them or not is the big question this time around. My supposition is the police community is a large share of that poll-shy potential, you know, and not potential, poll-shy, definitely Trump vote.
Yep. Well, that's the kind of thing a lot of people are hanging their hats on, but don't necessarily have a reason to believe that there's a concrete group of voters who might be behaving differently and aren't being measured. And it is possible that there is a dynamic going on inside of this group that is not measured just because of the nature of that group, because they are police officers. They tend to be people who aren't going to take phone calls and sit around spending 20 minutes answering a poll, stuff like that. So,
right.
So that adds some intrigue, because there is a strong, in our audience in particular, there's a strong thread of people who just don't believe the polls and are convinced, based on, in a large part, what happened with Trump last time, that there's a sense that the power structure conspires to rig the polls and the polls can't be trusted. And then there are these other theories that you alluded to, like sleepy voters, silent voters who don't talk to pollsters and don't give away the truth if they do talk to pollsters about who they're going to vote for.
Yeah. I mean, there is a lot of talky talk, if you will, on the embarrassment of being attending to being a Trump supporter. That you know, the I've heard it just the other day on the radio, Bloomberg Radio, and the way they put it is those who answer, who are you going to vote for? And they say, well, I'm leaning Democratic. And, well, how do you think your cousin's going to vote? Oh, he's a Trump voter. And the analysis is that's the real answer for the person being polled at the time.
Right.
You're speaking to
right.
someone else in the poll.
Yeah. That's interesting.
I don't know that I'm embarrassed in front of a pollster, quite frankly. I'm, you know, if I'm going into a Democratic rally for whatever reason, or I was caught in one, I might not blurt out or yell at the top of my lungs, I think Donald Trump is the greatest president who ever lived, in that setting. But if I'm talking to a pollster, I'm going to tell him how I vote if I bother to take the time. So I don't know whether that, you know, reticent voter, reticent registered or likely voter speaking to a pollster who's embarrassed to say who he's going to vote for really is, I think it's more likely that the hidden Trump supporter just doesn't talk to pollsters, period.
Yeah, that could be, but there certainly is a lot of disincentive these days for wearing your MAGA hat in public, as it were. And I think that's really what we're talking about, is that there is a reluctance to be vocal about support for the president because that's been demonized culturally in huge chunks of the country, particularly right. in states that lean blue, like in Connecticut. All right, Red, right. we've got a minute left. Anything else you want us to know?
I think that's it. I think I'm hopeful for the state races in Connecticut. Connecticut does not matter at the presidential level. We're ignored, and that's because we're overwhelmingly Democratic, so there's not a chance for the president state. But the battleground states are the ones I'm looking at, and in terms of this police phenomenon, potential tipping factor.
Yep.
So, to be continued. We'll see. We only have to wait a week, at least, to vote.
Yes, sir.
We may have
it
to
is
wait
getting...
a month to find out the result.
That's that is possible, but maybe not. Red Janke, thank you, sir. Good to talk with you once again, and thanks for the good work that you do. Check out Red's blog, The Red Line. The Red Line is the domain name, but there's a dash between the words, The Red Line with dashes, .com. All right, that's where we're at in terms of Red. We've got a lot more radio to do, a lot more fun to have. In about 45 minutes, we will be doing the rant line. So don't forget to call the rant line, 860-751-4698. Leave your message there. And what else do I need to billboard for you? I guess that's it. We've got some fun coming up, though, and we'll tell you about it when the time comes. And we will look forward to you participating. And maybe, I'll bring that up. I'll bring that up in a little while.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Baseball is back. Basketball is heating up. And the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.